to remind you that there are the VBS invitations out there. I hope you'll grab some of those before you leave this tonight. If you didn't grab any this morning, take your Bibles and turn it to 1 Samuel chapter 7. So thankful for the testimony of our teenagers. I'm always encouraged when I see God working in young people's lives. And I'm especially thankful for Sarah's testimony, because she said she didn't remember last week's message, and I just happened to have on deck tonight a full rehearsal of last week's message in the way of a reminder leading up to just the one point that I have for tonight. We're going to read the entire message, or the entire chapter again, to refresh our memory, but really because it's all aiming towards there in the middle of the chapter. Let's read this together. And the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill, and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel spake unto the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah, and drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said there, We have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them. And they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came to Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron even unto Gath, and to the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. And he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah, and judged Israel in all those places. And his return was to Ramah, where there was his house. And there he judged Israel, and there he built an altar unto the Lord. You know, we looked last year and realized, or not last year, last week, excuse me, and we saw that in the beginning of chapter 7, there is a 20-year span that they were really going without the blessings of the Lord. We saw also in verse 2 and following how that they repented of their sin. We saw revival come to the nation of Israel, and how they clung to the promises and how they worshiped, and how they just had such great desire, how their devotion and desire for God's favor outweighed their need even for physical nourishment. It says the psalmist said, As the deer panteth after the water brook. Listen, that's the way our heart should pant after God. They had a realization, and that was that God could do their fighting for them. I don't want to stop and start looking at verse 9 again. We looked at this briefly. We were kind of closing down, and our time was well nigh to being gone, almost like it is tonight. But I want to leave you with this idea. And it is simply this. From verse 9 and following, they see some amazing things happen. They see God working on their behalf. No longer are they trying to do it in their own power. When they heard that the Philistines were coming, they were nervous, they were scared, because they realized that the last time that they'd went up there, I think it was 30,000 men had died. But now things were different, and we talked about that, and we saw God deliver them a great victory. But ultimately, what we see is the peace of God and the rest that they have in Him. Right before we get to the peace of God, I want to see, not only did they have reconciliation, it's very interesting. In verse 9, Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a burnt offering, holy, unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and Israel heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, that's when the Philistines drew near against the Lord. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines. What were they doing? They were worshiping, and God was out there taking care of their problems. You know, there are really three things that the Christian needs in order to have God's peace. I'm going to give them all three to you, but I think we'll see them as it bears out in this passage of Scripture. The first thing that we need is God's provision. God's provision. The second thing we need is God's protection. And the last thing we need is God's power. And when you have God's provision and God's protection and God's power, you know what that gives you? Confidence in God. And when your confidence is in God and not in yourself, there is an overwhelming sense of peace. All right, so where do we see in the children of Israel? Well, certainly we see the provision. That lamb, it's just amazing to me. I got to find where that word is used. It says, and the men of Israel went out, in verse 11, out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethcar. Now, Samuel had just slaughtered that lamb. That was the provision that was made for them to be able to communicate with their God. That is the way that God is set up at that time. But this word Bethcar carries with it this meaning: the place of the lamb. The place that they got victory was at the place of the lamb. We are such frenetic people. And we are going everywhere. We're doing everything. Our schedules could not get packed any. Listen, we had to invent smartphones just so we could take our calendar with us wherever we went. I mean, it's unbelievable how absolutely busy we are. Before I tell anybody I'm going to do anything, I've got to check my phone to make sure that I haven't already done something somewhere else or that is close enough that I can get there in time. We are just busy, busy people. It doesn't matter if you're a stay-at-home mom. You've got children to deal with and groceries and the household management. Listen, so, I said it this morning, but somebody said, does your wife work? I said, listen, she's hardworking. And I know you ladies are very, very hardworking. You've got so many appointments and things to keep track of. And men are the same way. They have their work. They have their families. And there's things that is always going on. We as a church do things, and I don't think we're too busy. I try to really balance that. We don't want to have such a full calendar that families don't have time together, but we do have time where we are doing things together as a church family as well. And so there are church activities that you add to your calendar. There are social things, and we are so, so busy. And then there's always external pressures that are coming on, and sometimes it's financial, sometimes it's physical, and sometimes it's family difficulties and whatever it might be. I couldn't stand up here and list every possible different stress and pressure that we feel as human beings. I'd be here forever, because just as many individuals that are here, we have individual stresses and pressures in our life. We're not facing the exact same thing, all of us. Now, in a sense, we all face stress and pressure, but those pressure points are so different. But here's the amazing thing, that when we realize that God can do our battles for us, you know what we can do then? We can have confidence in Him. And so in that area, we can have peace. all it is saying God is trustworthy. When you go all the way down to verse 14, it says verse 13, it says, so the Philistines were subdued. That means they were humbled before God. Just like their God had been humbled, now they had been as well. I don't want to pass over verse 12. It says, then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Listen, if we're going to have peace, we need to have God's provision, which he's given to us. We need to have God's power. Certainly we can see God's power working on behalf of the children of Israel, his protection, but also his power. But you know, we have, as Christians, a short memory. You ever think about that? God can do something amazing in our lives, and rightly so, we give glory to God, and we go around and we're talking about how good God is, and God has done this in my life, and you just love to rehearse what God's done, and in a sense we call that bragging on God. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that when you're trying to give God glory for something great that he has done for you. You're just trying to praise him. That's wonderful. But a week goes by, or a month goes by, or even a year goes by, and something happens in your life, and suddenly, instead of remembering what God has done, we go right into woe is me mentality. Oh, what am I going to do? How am I going to fix this? What am I going to do to straighten this out? What we need to do is to go back and remember the peace that we had when we recognize the provision that God has given for victory, which is his promises, by the way. The provision is Jesus Christ. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, I don't know if you realize how contradictory that is. Yoke is a utensil for heavy work. But the dichotomy of that, the irony of that is, it's God that's doing all the work. We're just along for the ride if we'll trust him. If we can look back and remember the protection that he's given us and the power that he's given to us. And that really, this is all what verse 12 is talking about. When you go through the book of Psalms, we hear all the time about the word of God, the word of God, the word of God. But I want you to know, oftentimes, I don't have a list, you can go back and study it, but you look and see how often the words and the works of God are coupled together. So often he does not just say, remember my words. He says, remember my words and my work. Remember what I've done for you. Remember, remember. Don't forget. Why? What is he reminding us? Is he just trying to hold it over our head how good he is for us? No, what he wants us to do is to have that confidence, that track record that says God is trustworthy and he's protected me before. He's given me the provision and all I have to do is trust him and I can have that peace. It's not elusive. It's not an elusive peace. It's not something he's dangling over and he says, just one more day and you can have that peace. If you can just bear under the burden just one more day, then I'll give you that peace. That's not what it's about. What he's trying to show us is that if we would come to the end of ourselves sooner, we talk about being at the end of the rope, but the last 3 feet have oil on it and it's just kind of slick. We can't hold on anyways. But if we would cut that rope about 6 feet shorter, we'd get there a whole lot sooner and be trusting God all that much quicker. The children of Israel waited until they had a devastating defeat before they repented and got victory. Listen, the lesson here for us is we don't have to do that. We can remember what God's done in our lives before. You say, I can't really remember something that God's done for me in the past. How about salvation? That's a good place to start. If God has told us time and time again that we should remember his words and his work, I was challenged again. Now, I've been challenged a couple of times in my life to do this, and every time I think that's a good idea. But I've just never really sat down and taken the time to do it. But I'm convinced I really need to, because one day I'll be to the point where I won't be able to. You say, what is that? That's just to write down in a little logbook of my own, a little journal of the things that God has answered for me. Something that in essence, in Psalm 86, David calls a token for good. As a matter of fact, turn your Bible, hold your place there in 1 Samuel, but turn your Bible over to Psalm 86, 17. Psalm 86, 17. This Ebenezer, this is a stone that Samuel has set up to be a constant reminder of God's goodness to the children of Israel. But I'm telling you, this is not reserved just for the children of Israel. Not reserved just for those people that were there and alive to see God thunder down upon the Amorites. What did I say, 86? Well, if I can find the right book, I'd be all right. I should have set my place. Psalm 86. I might have somebody read it if I can't. All right. Yes. 86:17. It says, "Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast hope in me and comforted me." He's saying, God, you've helped me, you've comforted me, and I want the world to know it. I think we need that reminder ourselves. And we ask God, God, give me a token for good. But you know, Samuel didn't wait for God for just something to appear. He took it upon himself to put a reminder up. I tell you, if you have a little logbook of God's answering prayer, you know what those answered prayers are? They're a token of good. They're a reminder of God's goodness. In a sense, they are an Ebenezer. You ever make a decision for Christ and you come down to the altar and you realize that there's a burden that's been lifted off your soul? You got to write that down and the date that God did that work in your life. Why? Because if you're struggling at some time in another area, you can be reminded of God's goodness and see that as a token of good, as an Ebenezer in your life. I love what Dr. Beal did over at the college. When God did an amazing work with the mortgage, he found a real big stone and set it up right in the courtyard there, and he put Ebenezer on there. What? Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. It's a constant reminder for every generation that follows that God has done something here. But you know, when you set up an Ebenezer, it can be a tremendous, powerful thing for your family. Because once you're gone, they'll have that notebook. And they'll be reminded of how real God is to you, and hopefully they'll be able to add to it. And your grandkids or great-grandkids will have a great heritage of the works and the words that God has used to influence your life. They were given the provision. Provision at that time was the law, we know. And Samuel took advantage of that. They had God's power. They saw God do an amazing thing that day in destroying the Philistines. But then they had the protection and the power of God, all giving them in verse 14, the latter part of the verse, it says, "And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites." The truth of the matter is, we as Christians have the provision in Jesus Christ. We have power for victory. He's given us that power, and He is our protector. But it comes up to us then to be reminded of His goodness when we are so stressed out, when we are so busy, when we're going in every other direction, to remember that in Christ He is our rest. We don't have to live stressed out lives that seems to always be on the go and never be able to do anything when you're a Christian. You see, we can rest in Him. And you say, well, listen, what if this doesn't get taken care of? And I've got to somehow do... Listen, you're saying, God, you can't provide for me. You can't do this for me. You won't protect me in this area. That's what you're telling Him when you're not trusting Him. And so if you have an anxious spirit, If you are nervous about something, if you are constantly stressed out, I'm going to tell you something. There is a lack of trust in your Savior. I'm not talking about a salvation issue. I hope you understand that. But what I am saying is you need to be reminded tonight that your rest is in Christ. And let me tell you, this is something I need to learn. It's easy to get overwhelmed with life sometimes. But we need to just push pause and just stop and say, God, thank you for your provision. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for the power that you've given to us. And then we need to erect in our lives an Ebenezer, a reminder of God's goodness, and how that when we start feeling stressed out again, we can go back and say, hitherto, right up until now, that God has been a help to us. And it will bring us a sweet peace, knowing that we can trust the same God tomorrow that we trusted yesterday. We're reminded that the children of Israel had great peace during the days of Samuel. They're getting ready to go into a transition in chapter 8. We see, unfortunately, they're falling away from following after God, and they start to bring up a king, and we'll start hitting some interesting narratives coming up. But I hope tonight, teenagers that came home after making some decisions, you got to write it down somewhere and have yourself a little place when God does a work in your life that you can go back and say, hitherto has the Lord helped me. Ebenezer, for Christians, is just as powerful, I believe, as it was in the days of Samuel. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the provision that you give us, the protection and the power. And the Lord, help us to be faithful to remember that which you've done for us in the past. Help us to trust you as we move forward. Lord, you are so, so very good to us. Help us to remember that as we move forward. Help us to set up those tokens of good in our lives that we can see, whether it's answered prayer or just you moving in our lives through our devotions, through your word. Lord, you are so powerful. Help us to remember that in our time of stress and need. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.